Wait till I'm done. It's good to be here, and thank you to the church. And again, as Brother Graber had mentioned, all the work the church had done for the conference here, thank you for the accommodations and putting the conference on for the time of fellowship and preaching and everything else. It's good to have been here. It's been several years, I've mentioned to some of you, since I've been up here. Used to come here quite often, back in older buildings, but the first time I've been, I'd want to call it the new building, but it's certainly not new anymore, but 14 years. That's when you're getting old, when new things are 14 years old. If you have your Bible or your bulletin, we're just going to launch from the one verse that we see there, John chapter 13. John 13:15. It says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." So again, this conference, the main theme overall is Jesus Christ is our example. We've heard a few good messages about Jesus as our example in different ways, and you've seen this, and hopefully you've remembered them, and the Holy Spirit spoken to you in each of these messages, and you say, you know what? Jesus really needs to be my example. Yes, I've been convicted. I want to make Jesus the center of my life. I want to recommit to that, rededicate myself to putting Jesus front and center, to following His way from here on out. So you want to follow Jesus as your example. How does that work out? What's the nuts and bolts of making Jesus the example that you follow? Well, plenty of people will help you. You can go on TV and the internet and all the media today and tomorrow. You'll see several of these preachers. And it's a noble cause even to them to want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And they'll help you out. It's not as bad as you might think. I mean, Joel Osteen, he'll want you to follow Jesus. He'll take the example of Jesus throughout the book of John. It's famous how Jesus uses the name I am that Jehovah uses. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd, etc. Well, Osteen sees that. He says, yes, we ought to follow and be like Christ. So he'll say, whatever you say after I am, God will work out. I am blessed. I am favored. I am successful. Well, that sounds pretty good. Maybe this following Jesus stuff isn't going to be that hard. I want to be successful. I am wealthy. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Brother Graber, for this theme. You can flip to the next channel. Kenneth Copeland will be on. And he'll tell you, well, you know what? If you're following Jesus Christ, you're made in His image. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God. If I make a chair like this chair, do you know what that makes? Another chair. And if God makes me and I'm born again in the image of God, do you know what that makes me? I am a God too. Wow. And you could find Marion Williamson. You remember her? She ran for president for a short time. The New Age woman. They'll take Scripture. And they'll say, well, Christ in you. Jesus was a man that reached the pinnacle of what man ought to be, because he was indwelt by the Christ. And if you're indwelt by the Christ, you can be like him too. Now, is that what the Bible teaches? It sounds good, but what does it really say? I mean, who doesn't love Jesus? If I follow Jesus' example and I live like Jesus, everybody's going to love me just like everybody loved Jesus.
Right?
Well, what did Jesus think? John chapter 7. It's amazing what we'll find out when we actually read the Bible. Again, I've seen these people, and Jesus was super successful. Jesus was greater than any Hollywood movie star. He had everything you could imagine in this life. And everybody would just love Jesus. Okay. Well, John chapter 7, look at verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but the world it hateth, because I testify that the works thereof are evil. Now go to John chapter 15. Well, the world seems to hate Jesus. Well, what does he say here? Verse 18. Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't everybody love Jesus? He seemed to think the world hated him. So wait a second. If the world hated Jesus, and I'm trying to recommit, make him the center of my life and follow him, they're not going to love me too? No, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world will hate you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own, because you're not of the world. But I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If he had come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. It's all this hate stuff. Doesn't everybody love Jesus? Won't they love me if I'm following Jesus? Not according to Jesus. He said, they're going to hate you. I haven't heard the word hate come out of any of those guys' mouths on TV. I thought it was all success, and God's got this best plan for me right now, and he's got wonderful things. He knows my plans, and I have good for you, and blah, blah, blah. Nothing about hate. And what was that one word we read? Persecute. Persecute? Wait a minute. What's the deal here? You got me all excited about following the example of Jesus so that everybody out there can hate me and persecute me? This doesn't sound like any fun. I was all on board with following the example of Jesus because everybody will like me and my life will be wonderful and happy and blessed. But that's not what the Bible teaches. He said, Jesus himself said, they hate me, they're going to hate you, and they hate Jesus because they hate the Father. Is that everybody in the world? Well, that's the world as a whole. I don't know if I like the way this is going. What else is said of Jesus, rather? Well, if you went back to Isaiah 53, verse 3. What did it say? Well, let's see. I'm going to guess it said that everybody loved Jesus and they want to hang his picture up on the walls, and church people are real nice. Well, he said something about he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What in the world? You want me to follow that? I don't want to be despised. I don't want the world and people to reject me. I don't want to have a life of grief and sorrow. Well, that's what we're called to. So if you've been excited so far in these messages about following the example of Jesus, about putting Jesus as the center of your life, you better get ready. You better get ready, because it's not a decision to make and say, oh, well, everything's going to just be wonderful now. God's going to shower blessings from heaven, and it's not to say that He won't necessarily, but it's a life that can have grief and sorrow and persecution and hatred pointed towards you. And we're somewhat unfamiliar with this. We've been very fortunate in this country. We've been very fortunate that for all of our lifetimes, we've been able to kind of hide. We've been able to kind of just fit in. I don't look that much out of place. This isn't communist China. This isn't the Soviet Union. This isn't Muslim Middle East. This is America. And in America, we've got baseball, hot dogs, apple pies, Jesus, and everything else. But in 2021, some things are quickly changing. There used to be a time, oh, well, that's just Norman Rockwell America, the little white church on the side of the country road here, and those folks go there. That may not be for me, but that's good old hard-working Americans. And you could get away with it. Your neighbors didn't really know what you believed. The folks at work didn't really know what you believed. They didn't know what's really preached in here. We kind of got undercover. You know, they hated Jesus because you go to the Gospels, and you know, Jesus suffered the little children. They love that verse. But they forget where he talks about you're in danger of hellfire. Hellfire? Jesus would say that? Oh, yeah. He said, you better cut your hand off if it offends you. Better to go with one hand than it be in danger of hellfire. Even preachers don't like that term, hellfire, anymore. I know, just call it separation from God. Not hellfire, that's too... Jesus used it. So I guess I can use it too. That's why they hated him. The religious people of the day hated Jesus. Wait a minute, you're messing up our system here. We got a good thing going. We're making good money. We're not causing trouble with the government. We're just... it's all good. Now you come in here and start this crazy talk about hell and God and sin. Ugh, you're messing it up. So they hated him.
Yeah.
We've been fortunate. I guess you could call it fortunate. We've not had persecution. We can blend right in. Because rarely did the truth get outside of these walls. What's that truth? Stuff we all believe, but your neighbors don't know that you believe this. If your neighbors knew that you believe that if they don't trust in Jesus Christ to save their soul, that they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, if they knew that's what you really believe, they'd hate you.
Right.
They get along well because, oh, well, they look nice and clean. They're good American folks. Oh, they support Trump too. And yeah, maybe they're a little anti-gay, but I guess I am too. Well, no, more than just any anti-gay, if you're anti-God, you will stand before Him in judgment. Whether you're gay, straight, or whatever other thing they'll come up with next week. They come up with new stuff every week. It's amazing. After several thousand years of human history, they're inventing things that people can do now. So what is it to follow Jesus? Hebrews chapter 13. If it's not the life of ease, if it's not the life of just blessings, and I'm a little God and all this crazy stuff, What's the example? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. What does following Jesus look like? Jesus was treated like garbage outside the gate. So in Jerusalem, this doesn't take any kind of special, extra special knowledge of Hebrew history. What do you do with the trash? Well, I don't keep it in the house. I throw it outside the door. Okay, you get the idea. If I've got a walled city, what do I do with the trash? Well, I take it outside the city gates. If I'm sacrificing animals all day long, that's a lot of dead carcasses building up. What do we do with it? Well, we take the old dead carcasses outside the walls of the city, outside the gate, and burn them. If I've got lepers that are so infectious that they can't even be touched or be close to, where do they go? Outside the gate. If I'm going to take somebody out to stone them, I don't do it in the middle of the street. They would drag them outside the gate and stone them. When they crucified Jesus, we can't crucify him inside the city walls. We took him out to a place called Golgotha, and there we crucified him. He wasn't in the middle of the city. He was taken out like they take out the trash. He wasn't the man of the year. The first time he came, he was treated like absolute garbage. Now, how do you expect to be treated? Well, I want people to like us. I like people to like me. But here we're told, for us that are following the example of Jesus, wherefore Jesus also, verse 12, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go, therefore, because he suffered outside the gate, therefore what do? We're to go without the camp, bearing his reproach. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to be the people that everybody admires. We're not called to be, oh, isn't that the wonderful church over there? And I hope people to, on some level, like us. We're not to be unkind and unlikable. We're still to be neighborly. We're still to esteem others better than ourselves. We're not to be purposely jerks. Amen. We're not to be purposely offensive. Amen. But the cross itself is offensive.
Amen.
I could call you every rotten name in the book. Well, that's not very charitable. Well, I can tell you about the cross, and I could be as kind and loving as possible and tell you that the best that you can do will land you flat in the lake of fire for eternity unless you kneel at the cross and trust in the work of Jesus Christ. That's offensive. What do you mean? I've given my life to the Catholic Church, says the Pope. You're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your only way to salvation. That's offensive. Mother Teresa, if she did not believe on Jesus Christ as her only way of salvation, is in hell at this moment. You want the world to like you? Try that one on TV. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but the preaching of the cross is offensive. The truth is offensive. And I could hold your hand and hug you and kiss you on top of the head and still tell you this truth, and it would be an offense. And what would you think of me? A reproach? What's in a reproach? An outsider, rejected, scorned. For many years, of course, we've tried to get along. We've tried to be accepted. We've tried to go under the radar. We've tried to fit in with the world. Because I don't want to be a reproach in my flesh. I don't want people to think bad of me. But if you're really going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're going to make that decision that my life will center around the person of Jesus Christ, you're going to be scorned, hated, reproached. You're going to be an outsider. The time is quickly coming when you won't really have to make that choice yourself.
Right.
I would love to see it. If Joel Osteen really is saved, there's a day coming, I believe, when even he will be hated by the world just because, okay, there's only so far you can go in false teaching. Then it's like, well, no, I can't deny that Jesus Christ isn't God. I can't deny the Bible's God's Word. Well, they're going to hate you just for the most basic of beliefs.
Right.
We're very quickly there now. It's not very charitable, some of the things that you would believe if you believe the Bible. Be considered hate speech. To put the church above the government is considered radical. Well, you're to be a reproach. So if you've made the decision and you've said, God, you've spoken to my heart, I really need to put a lot of this junk aside. I need to put myself aside and follow the example of Jesus. Make him the center of my life. You better get ready. Because to do that is to be called a reproach. To do that will make you an outsider. To do that will make you the garbage that's left on the outside. Boy, isn't this a cheerful message? Here's the good news. With all due respect to Roger Bennett, who wrote the song, I read the back of the book and we win. The good news is, I've read the back of the book and he wins.
Yeah.
And I win because my life is hid in Christ.
Amen.
It's not, and I'm not saying this was against any songs or anything else, but it's not all about me.
Right.
No, it's all about him, and he lets me be accepted into the Beloved.
Amen.
That's the great news of all this. For right now, you may be reproached. For right now, you might be the outsider. For right now, people might hate you. For right now, they're going to call you every name in the book, and you'll say, wait a minute. I'm not a bigot, homo, racist, anti-vax, blah, 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 anti-LGBTQ, X, Y, and Z. I'm a nice guy. Sorry, you're a reproach. Oh, man. Well, guess what? They've said all that about Jesus Christ. They've blasphemed his name, and you've heard it for years and years. God's been long-suffering, putting up with that stuff. Psalm 2 talks about the heathen raging and conspiring against Jesus Christ. But the good news, again, we won't take the time to turn there. If you read the rest of Psalm 2, the whole world system has been and is right now. All this stuff you see going on in the world is the conspiracies of the world against Jesus Christ. We don't want him as our king. They may not understand it fully, but they've all been working for millennia. We want peace on earth, but I want to run it. That's not how it's going to work.
Amen.
We'll get peace on earth. We'll get the utopia. We'll have a one world government. But Jesus Christ is going to run it.
Amen.
Not you.
Amen.
And guess what? Look at Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 11, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation. And that's not the right verse. I hate when I do that.
Chapter 2, verse 11,
brother? Yeah. Oh, maybe I'm reading the wrong verse. Look at 12. 12 is what I want. I was reading 10. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So, if in this life I say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow your example. I want you to be the center of my life. It might cause some persecution. As this world grows darker, I might lose a job. I might have people hate me. I might have people picket the church. I might have a church burnt down. These things aren't uncommon. These have happened. We haven't seen a lot of them in our lifetime. But it certainly can happen. Why would I have to suffer through all that? Just relax. It'll be worth it all. All this is not to be compared with the glory that's to come.
Amen.
If you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. Revelation 19, you see the end of it all. The world's fighting him, blaspheming him. It's been going on. Lord, how long? He's coming back. We're coming with him, those of us that are saved. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We look at stuff now and we say, well, to follow Jesus is going to cost so much. This world has changed so much. I'm such an outsider. You're going to be. They're not going to win. It looks like it. It looks like the devil's got everything under control. He's got all the things planned out. We know that Jesus wins. Satan might be calling a lot of the shots with God and overseeing all that.
Right.
He's got a long leash. But that's a wonderful thing with God. He doesn't need a stacked deck. He can let the devil run around and it still gets his plan accomplished.
Amen.
Brother Hugan mentioned something that I hadn't heard before. Or if I did, I forgot or whatever. When Satan took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple, Brother Hugan said that was overseeing the Kidron Valley. That Kidron Valley, I believe, is what Joel calls the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where the judgment of the nations will be. The sheep and the goats, Matthew 25. So as he mentioned that, one of these days, not too long, Jesus will sit there as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all those nations. And he must have, if you could read between the lines, bow down to me, I'll give you all the nations. What? In just a little bit, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. What are you trying to offer me? We'll be in on that. So yes, for a little while. And the old believers used to understand a lot of this better. They used to understand persecution and hardship. But all of us have pretty well come up post-World War II under a time of great blessing, a time of still somewhat faithfulness to God's Word among churches you could find. That's going to go away. And we'll have to endure hardship again.
Right.
You better get ready. Or deny Jesus right now. If you're saved, I don't believe you can. At least not fully. But one of these days you'll stand before him. You'll give an account of your works as a believer. If you are lost, say, well, I don't want to commit to that. Eternity is so much better than the temporary. or if that is for the believer, or so much worse for the unbeliever. We're all called to follow Jesus. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now is the time of salvation for those that are lost, and now is the time of service for those of us that are saved. So if you've been convicted and you say, yeah, I really want Jesus to take center stage in my life, that's a good commitment. But it doesn't come without a cost.
Right.
Prepare yourself for it.
Right.
But the good news is, any cost you have now pales in comparison to the glories of eternity.
Amen.
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 Let's stand.